Welcome to the Reader's Roundtable edition of Cattlecast with Jessica Trotter, Mari Garza, and Cheryl Lindemann.
Welcome back to the Reader's Roundtable edition of Cattlecast. I'm Jessica Trotter. Today's episode will feature Marisela Garza and Lynn Harper, branch head at Cattle Dansville. They'll be looking back at youth literature in 2022 and forward to titles they're excited about coming out this year.
Well, hello. Thank you, Jessica. How you doing, Lynn?
Good. How are you, Mari?
I'm good. I'm doing very well. Thank you. Do you have a good break?
Yes. With all the snow, I had some extra reading time, so I actually had a chance to reread Little Women.
Nice. Very nice. Okay. Yeah, I got to do some good reading over break time as well. I am really excited about the new year. Lynn and I were just talking about like how we love seeing all the new books on the carts and reading about all the books that are coming for 2023. This podcast, we really want to share quite a bit about like some of the books that stood out to us in 2022 for children. And I'm going to get started by talking about a couple of picture books that I really liked. The first one is Rick the Rock of Room 214. It's by Julie Filatko. It's illustrated by Ruth Chan. And this is the cutest book. I remember hearing about it in the fall. This is definitely, I'm sure, something that gets read in the classroom at the beginning of the school year because so many children experience a class pet or some kind of, collection of things in the classroom. So this is about a rock who sits on a ledge with an acorn and a piece of bark. And, one day the teacher is talking about the makeup of rocks and that, you know, it's basically a rock is a mix of mineral matter. You know, this is what the teacher says. And he goes on to describe, you know, all the adventures, I guess you could say, that rocks have, falling off cliffs and rolling along and, you know, being part of volcanoes and all that sort of thing. And the rock gets to thinking, this is Rick's like, hey, I want to have some adventures. So, off he goes. Somehow he gets outside and he starts to experience like life in a different way outside of his classroom. And he finds that it's kind of not necessarily greener out there as you might have thought. And it's really cute because I think it really kind of focuses on, highlights what is common to the human experience that we're often wanting to experience what we hear about other people having and other children or other adults like having their best life out there when really what you have inside is also a really nice experience. So I thought it was a really fun book. The other title I absolutely loved is Skater Cielo. This is by Rachel Katzdahler. And this is a story about a little girl who is really into skateboarding. And this really stood out to me because I have a few kids in my family who are really into skateboarding. And you learn a lot, first of all, about the skateboarding culture. I love seeing kids skating inside. So you learn, about some of the terms, sometimes the pit where people fall into, might be referred to as a whale or a pool. There's just, all these terms that this, by the way, at the end of the book, you kind of get a little glimpse into a glossary of what some of these terms mean. But Cielo is someone who, in the beginning of the book, she's pretty good at what she does. But little by little, she's taking on more and more challenges. And she like has major crashes and she gets discouraged that she's not excelling in something that she really thought she could do. And again, this is something that is so relatable for kids and adults. Like it's so tempting to just quit when you run into hardships or setbacks. But with the help of some friends, she gets the encouragement she needs to keep at it. And she crashes like a gazillion times. And she's not, hurt to the point where she can't go on, but it takes a lot of courage to keep going and to keep at it. So definitely a title I really, really appreciated. So, Lynn, do you have something you would like to recommend, picture books?
I do, but I wanted to comment on your last picture book. Sure. That one I'm not familiar with. It sounds really interesting. Would you recommend that for like older, like maybe middle elementary?
It's actually
kids?
A picture book. So I certainly think a middle grade or older elementary would enjoy it. But even at the first grade, second grade level, it's definitely readable and lots of jumping off points for parents and kids to talk about, you know, what it means to develop that grit and that, right, like keep going if it's something you want to get good at, you know.
Yeah, that sounds really great.
Yeah.
It's a good lesson for
and
everybody.
Cielo, by the way, means sky in Spanish, and I think that's kind of what she was getting at. You can't really tell, but it's like, oh, what a cool name.
Yeah. So, yeah, I do. I have one picture book to feature today. It's a book that is at my branch, the Dansville branch. And when I, you know, we have a lot of great picture books, very visually enticing. But when I saw this one, I kind of stopped in my tracks and took a second look. It's called Still This Love Goes On. And the author is Buffy St. Marie, who is a singer-songwriter of Cree ancestry. And the illustrator is Julie Flett, who is a who is of Cree Métis ancestry. And this book, it's just got these beautiful, soft color washed illustrations. The two women wrote the book from a cabin in Alberta, Canada in the winter. And so they were surrounded by wildlife and natural landscape, and that totally comes through in the book. There's just beautiful landscape vistas throughout the book, and it's about the changing of the seasons. So every spread has a picture of a natural scene in a different season of the year. And then there's always a person or a few people in the picture, but they're very small in comparison to the natural world. And it sort of drives home that point that, you know, people are really just a small part of the world, of the natural world, and just like getting back to the natural world and noticing it and the changes of seasons and just embracing, you know, what you love, and that, you know, like a flower will grow in the spring and it's going to die, but there'll be that rebirth, that cycle of life with the natural world and with people in our lives. So it's just a really great book to sort of meditate on, to maybe read before bedtime, just like a really quiet, quiet, meaningful kind of book. And the lyrics are actually, the text is actually based on lyrics to a song. So you can go on YouTube and you can hear Buffy St. Marie singing the song that is the text to the book. So every time I see the book with just the beautiful colors and she conveys so much through her illustrations, it just makes you feel happy when you see it.
Yes, I totally agree. And thank you for bringing up that book, Lynn. I remember reading it, and I think I talked about it also on the podcast. And the way you described it is just like helping me to remember what a beautiful, beautiful book that is. And I really enjoyed visiting it in my mind with your description. So thank you. I have, speaking of the outdoors and being outside in nature, my next book is My Big Book of Outdoors. It's by Tim Hopgood. And wow, this is a really great book. It's a meaty book, maybe 116 pages, that covers kind of like the four seasons. And I have to say, as I was looking at it again this week, I really spent a lot of time in the winter section. And it's kind of a combination of poetry / factoids about, you know, winter or animals related to winter / little mini projects like that you can do in the winter. I really, really liked it. And of course, it's just illustrated beautifully like a picture book, but with some good text on it. He has a section on birds. And how, you know, he talks about there are many birds that don't go anywhere in the winter. They stick around and they, you know, they find a way to keep themselves warm. He, you know, talks about the different types of birds there. One of the projects that he, you know, gives kind of instructions for, which were very readable and easy for any child, like grade 1 to grade 4 is what I'm thinking, was that bird feeder with the toilet paper roll, or you can roll it in honey. And I mean, that's just like a classic. But he gives examples like that, just little things you can do and how to become more alert when you're outside and noticing things and then talking about them later. Really a nice book. I'm kind of, you know, I would say comprehensive in that it's like something you can really linger on because it is so long. You can take a section each season and just go through it and read the different poems, but also, you know, the facts about, you know, how is it that a snowflake comes together and things like that. So, yeah. I think we were going to talk about some graphic novels. Do you have anything, Lynn, that you were going to talk about?
I do. Graphic novels for elementary readers are just, I feel like there's just, it's like a, I wouldn't say a renaissance because it's not like a comeback, but they're really just taking off. There's so many new.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
There's so many new offerings. I was saying to Mari, I think that our section for juvenile graphic novels has almost doubled this year because of all the new works coming out. So I picked out a couple to share today. The first one I have to share is called Anne, an Adaptation of Anne of Green Gables, Sort of, by Kathleen Gross. So when I was young, I read the original Anne of Green Gables, and I saw the miniseries, and, you know, I really, you know, embraced it. And she lived in that Avonlea with the magical lane of the flowering trees and Prince Edward Island. So this is a modern retelling in graphic novel format. So there's a lot of, you know, pictures, but it stays true to the spirit of the original. In this telling, Avonlea isn't this beautiful farm, but it's an apartment building, although there are the beautiful flowering trees outside. So that does get carried over. And the main character, Anne, like in the original, is an orphan, and she's been in foster care. And she ends up going to the home of siblings Matthew and Marilla, like in the original. So this is a story about Anne trying to find her forever home. She's been in a number of foster homes, and she's about 12. So it's that trying to find a place to belong and set some roots for herself with Matthew and Marilla, and also trying to create friendships, because having moved around a lot, it's hard to have friends when you're always changing where you live and where you go to school. So it's about friendship. She makes friends with another girl in the apartment building named Diana, but she also has some maybe like frenemy situations with a boy named Gilbert. So if you've read the original Anne of Green Gables, all these names are probably like recognizable to you. So there's a lot of there's a lot that carries over, but it's a modern, you know, retelling. But I like that it keeps those themes of, you know, belonging and friendship. Anne has a little bit of like a temper that she has to work through. And there's an episode with her hair that was in the original book that they carry through to here. I don't want to give away like too many spoilers. So if you didn't read the original, I'm not going to go into that. But I just really like how it makes it fresh and relevant to today's readers who maybe wouldn't be as interested in the original, or maybe this is a way, like if they read this, they might want to go back to the original. Mm-hmm. I think that the original and this graphic novel, they both have their own merits, and neither one is better than the other. But I just really enjoyed revisiting the story in this format.
Okay. Well, maybe I'll read the graphic novel. I never did quite finish the original Anne of Green Gables, but that might inspire me to do a longer read. Nice. Very nice.
Yeah.
Anything else you have?
So I have another graphic novel that is really kind of, it's very different from Anne of Green Gables because there's a graphic novel out there for every reader.
Absolutely.
These days.
And you're right. There's total demand, at least at Cattle. Oh my gosh. Children are so into these books.
Yeah. So this other one I saw is called Adventure Game Comics by Jason Chiga. And he wrote a graphic novel about 12 years ago called Meanwhile, and this is very similar to that. And I remember when Meanwhile came out, I was like, whoa, this is really different and unique. And this Adventure Game Comics is kind of the same thing. So it says it's part comic, part maze, and part game. It is a comic where you read, you start the book out, and you get to make a decision. Does the character choose this route? Does the character choose that route? And then it directs you to go to a different page in the book. So it's like a choose your own adventure graphic novel story.
Nice.
It's not really text heavy, so I think it, and it has sort of a video game format in how you're choosing where your character is going to go next and what they're going to do. So I think it has a really big appeal to reluctant readers. But even though there's not a lot of text, I feel like there's still a lot of those reading skills that you have to use to navigate through this book. There's, you know, sequencing that you have to do because you're on, you know, one page and it might say, now you need to go to this other page, and you go to that page and you have to pick up the story there. There's patterns that you need to recognize to make the experience fun. And then there's just like critical thinking. So really, even though it's not heavy on the actual reading, it employs a lot of the same skills. And I think in that way, it's really beneficial for those reluctant or struggling readers who get to practice those skills in a format that's maybe more appealing to them than something that's really text heavy.
Okay.
Nice. And it's just really fun.
Okay. So the next book that I have is also a graphic novel. This is My Aunt, or the book I'm talking about is My Aunt is a Monster. It's by Ramenna Yi. And this author is originally from Malaysia, but I think now living in Australia. And you may have also read her title, Seance Tea Party, from 2020. This is so different in many ways, at least in my mind. It's Safia Haziz. She's this 11-year-old little girl who has been raised on fairy tales, lives kind of in a bookstore with her parents, and she has the incredible privilege of being read to every night, which in my mind, that's like the best thing you could give to a kid. So every night she's, you know, being read to. But sadly, her parents pass away. And the bookshop that she grew up in also, I won't say why, but is also now gone. And she has to go off with, you know, the foster care people or officials who are trying to track down this long-lost aunt of hers. So finally they find aunt, Walter Ann Hakim Whimsy. Aunt Whimsy, I will tell you, has blue fur, yellow eyes, horns, talent feet. Could she really be an animal or a monster? Well, you decide. she's a very snazzy dresser and very elegant, I'll say. This book just read very much like a fairy tale in the woods. Safia gets to go live in this house that, I mean, not totally like, you know, Downton Abbey style home, but the imagery in the graphics, just it's like this little home with a tower. You know, it has a housekeeper, and there's all sorts of nooks and crannies. And something that I really like is that Safia gets to go out, you know, exploring on her own. She gets in touch with a blue ghost who lives in the forest, and just that wonder of just being able to explore and play and do what you want. But anyway, the best part is that Aunt Whimsy, she is, by the way, a retired, shall we say, adventurer. She's traveled all over the world. She's got all these little collection of things that she, you know, shares a little bit with Safia. And there is someone who has kind of been her enemy, not really, but sort of, who is kind of challenging her. And Aunt Whimsy, the retired adventurer, is being asked to come out of retirement so that they can go and take on this person who is challenging her, you know, her fame, her honor as the number one adventurer. The imagery in the book really, you know, kind of pops, and I have to say that if you read it too quickly, you might miss some of it because there's just so much in there. So read it slowly if you can, and take a look at all the beautiful illustrations. There's lots of jokes in there. And I will say at the very end that something I really also liked is, you know, there were a lot of images of Braille, and that's because Safiya is blind. And she uses a recorder to detail a lot of the adventures that she's having. I would say that the graphic novel is, you know, maybe for grade 5 to 8. But I think it would appeal definitely to teens and to adults as well. So that it's really, really neat book.
Thanks, Mari.
Yeah.
I'm going to move on and talk about a young adult book that I read this fall that I really enjoyed. It's called A Snake Falls to Earth by Darcy Little Badger. I'm trying to think how to start. It was just really different from anything else I'd read lately, so I just felt very, like, immersed in it. There's just really rich world building, and it's based in some legend of the Leap. I'm going to hopefully say this correctly, the Lipan Apache native peoples. So the main character is a teenager named Nina. She lives in Texas in modern day. Her grandmother has a homestead out in a rural area. There are developers who are interested in her land. She is struggling to, you know, to keep the homestead for the family. She's also facing loss of the homestead because there are frequently intense hurricanes coming through that area. And so there's that, you know, climate change is a big factor too. So Nina is trying to help her grandmother stay safe and be able to stay in her home. There's a parallel story going on in the reflecting world. And in the reflecting world, animals can take human form. And it's not part of the human world, but it's the reflecting world is impacted by the human world. So as climate change is affecting the real world, it's affecting the reflecting world. And the main character in the reflecting world is named Ollie, and he is a snake person. Ooh. And his story starts out that his mother is kicked him out of the house. You're old enough. You're out on your own. Make your own way in the world. And so he sets out to make his own way. He makes friends, and some of his friends are coyote people, and they are able to travel between the reflecting world and the real world. So through a series of events, between Ollie trying to, save one of his friends and Nina trying to save her grandmother and her grandmother's homestead, their worlds collide and they form a new friendship and they team up. So it's just a lot of really fascinating storytelling, the rich world building, some magical realism. It just really has a lot going on to draw you in as a reader.
Nice. Very nice.
And my second book I'm going to talk about in this segment is for more of, I would say, fourth through sixth grade readers, called The Marvelers by Donnell Clayton. She is an established young adult author who ventured into writing for slightly younger readers this year. And this is a first in a series, and it's a fantasy series, which I'm always on the lookout for because fantasy is really popular with kids. We have a lot of parents and kids coming into the library who have finished a fantasy series and they don't know where to go next. And my own kids, they've been really into fantasy books, so it's always on my radar to try to find, like, the next fantasy series that I think will meet that need, and I feel like this is it. So this is about a protagonist named Ella. She is a young girl, about 11 or 12, who is in a family of conjurers, so they perform magic. They help people move to the underworld when they die. And she lives in New Orleans, and her family is a well-known, established family. She lives in this neighborhood that is a very strong community, and her parents have decided they are going to send her away to the Arcanum Training Institute. So she is going to go to this place that is in the Marveler world, which they also perform magic, but it's a different kind of magic, and the Marvelers might consider themselves a higher class of magicians than conjurers. So she's going to be a real outsider at this Arcanum Training Institute. And she meets some other students there that are sort of outsiders, and they become friends. But what I really love about this is that Danielle Clayton brought in lots of cultures from around the world, mythologies from around the world, in terms of the students who are at this school and the instructors at the school. She just really weaves this world of interesting buildings and, you know, these like robot kind of helpers. And of course, there's magic. There's these mouthwatering descriptions of food. So it's not like a rewrite of Harry Potter, but it has a lot of similar appeal factors to anyone who likes Harry Potter. You know, she's an outsider. She's not an orphan, but an outsider. And just, you know, all the details that make that world so interesting is very present in this book. And so there's just a lot of action, and, you know, she finds this mysterious elevator that nobody else seems to notice, and how come she can notice it and get onto it and other people can't? And there's just some, you know, deceitful people involved. So there's just a lot going on, a lot to draw you in and keep you reading. So I really enjoyed this, and it's the first in a trilogy, so we know there will be at least two more books coming out.
Cool. Very cool. Thanks. Well, my last book from 2022 that I really, really liked that I want to talk about is Haven, A Small Cat's Big Adventure, and this is by Megan Wagner-Lloyd. This is really for a child who really loves following animals through their adventures. It's not quite like the Warrior series, but it's definitely got its appeal, where you've got a little cat, a kitten, a rescued kitten, I'll say. Haven has been living with, you know, Ma Millie for a bit in kind of a remote rural area, and it's a very dreamy life for Haven. And all of a sudden, Haven is tasked with having to go out and find help because Millie is, you know, coughing up a storm, and we're not really sure if she's going to be okay. And Haven knows that Mr. Levin is someone who comes over to, you know, look out for Millie once in a while. He's got to track him. Haven has to track Mr. Levin down to get help for Millie. And so there's the perspective of multiple animals in the forest. Some want to eat others. Some are totally oblivious to what it's like to be a domesticated animal. Like, there's the fox, who's Haven's main little friend, helping her, who's like, well, what's breakfast? And, you know, why do you have to have a name? You know, because Haven's trying to give the fox a name, because the fox is just the fox. He's like, I've always been the fox. I don't need to have a name, you know? So it's just a really cute, cute book. I would say, you know, maybe a really strong second grader, or right on up to like grade four, grade five, would really enjoy this chapter book. I like just the dialogue, you know, with, you know, the muttering of the cows and the bobcat that is serious about getting its prey. I mean, it's just so, it's fast paced in some ways, but very short chapters. I think children would really like it. And I think the descriptions of the wilderness, like there's the rivers, there's the, you know, the ravines, and talking about what it takes to get through these kinds of geographies, I guess you could say. So I really liked it. And I think we're going to wrap up by just talking a little bit about what kind of things we're looking forward to. We mentioned that at the beginning of the podcast, 2023. I know I am really excited about My Powerful Hair. This is by Carol Lindstrom. It's out in March, and it's a family history sort of picture book that is, you know, looking at reclaiming your sense of self-expression. So it's Native American themes. And then, of course, there's also an Angeline Boley book, which I cannot wait to get a hold of, Warrior Girl, that's coming out in May. And from what I've read, it's you know, people will be returning to Sugar Island in Michigan. I'm hoping it's about one particular character, but I'm not sure yet. So discovering your stolen history. How about you, Lynn?
Yeah, so one that I came across I'm looking forward to that's out in April is by author-illustrator Brian Selznick. It's called Big Tree, and like all his other books, it's like a very unique storyline. This is about two sycamore seeds named Merwin and Louise who, the description says, are trying to save the world while finding safe harbor after leaving their mother. And it goes through prehistoric age to modern times, and they run across characters like Mad King Seaweed and Mushroom Ambassadors. So, like I said, it's just his style is so unique. He has those great illustrations that he intersperses throughout. It's going to be a really big book like all of his other ones, and apparently it was inspired by Steven Spielberg. So I think it's going to have a lot going for it. That's something to find in the spring. And then in the fall, if you are intrigued about the Marvelers and you end up reading that, the second book comes out in September.
Cool. Very good. Well, thank you, Lynn, very much for coming on the podcast with me today. I really enjoyed having you here. I hope you have a great winter season at the Dansville Branch Library.
Thank you, Mari.